You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. Now, some of the things I'm going to say this morning, you've probably heard before. From the Word of God, basically, by reading it yourselves, but also from Dad, as he may have ministered. I'm not trying to teach one of his messages, but I had some things that just really came alive to me, and it's going to sound a little bit like some of the things that, Dad, he's taught so much, it's kind of hard not to teach something that he hasn't already taught. Amen? So just receive this and go with this. I want to teach about what you say specifically about yourself, what you're saying about your future. What does God say about you? I mean, that's what we need to be saying ourselves. So this morning, I just want you to dive in, as we mentioned before. Let's dive into the Word of God. Let's minister for a minute here. Man, I tell you what, I had this. I've got all these notes, but there's no way I could get to all this stuff. Okay, so we have to be real wise in choosing, what we're going to do here. But anyway, first of all, I want you to turn to, not just because I want to jump off the diving board with this verse, but let's turn to Psalms 45. How many of you know that God's word is true? The Word of God. How many?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God's Word is true?
Amen.
Amen. It needs to be all of you. Amen. God's Word is true. And which we'll get to this part in a minute, we need to find out what God says about us. What does God say about you? Who are you? I mean, who am I? Who am I? What do you say about God? What does God say about you? Well, I'm Chris Williams. If you don't know who I am, I'm the pastor's son. And, I go to church here. I've been going here for quite a long time, almost 26 years. I do some of the television work and the computer stuff, and I play the drums, and I'm over some of the orchestra. We pull songs, we work on songs, and the orchestra team... How many of y'all have been enjoying some of the new songs and the worship that we've been doing with the orchestra lately? Amen. Amen. Give them a hand clap because they've done some really good hard work. I will say this. It is a testimony and it is a help. It makes it easy. Put it that way. It makes it easy when you have people that are hungry to worship God. We've just got not just talented people in our worship team. We have willing and obedient and people that have a heart to worship and praise God. They want the worship to be the best that it can be. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the group, the team. Whenever I go and get a song, I'm going to pull something. I'm listening to the song. And there's been times where, I'm not sure we can pull that off. That song's tough, But the more we've done stuff, we've come a long ways. We've learned. Our team, our guys and gals, I don't have any concerns at all. We can play anything that anybody can play. We can do it. And not just, Mom's been working on some songs, she's been listening to all these CDs, and she comes back to my office, she'll come pop in, she goes, okay, now have you heard this song? Have you heard this one? And she says, it's number 11, and it's number 1, and it's number, and then it's something that starts with a 1. I don't remember if it's 13, 12, or, anyway, that's Mom. And so we had to go listen, and we find the songs. And she goes, do you think we can do that? I said, yeah, we can do that. I know we can do it. Our group can do that. I have confidence in our group. We come in here, we get a song, and as long as we know the notes, when we first start, we're attorney in the children's church, as long as we know what key we're going to sing it in, when we start, it works out really good. If we have to change keys 3 or 4 times, and that kind of slows us down. But, man, we can listen to that song one time, jump up here, and play it, and generally the first time through, most of the time, voila, it's there. It's not perfect, but we can play it. And we played a few times, a few weeks, and we get... But they have found out who they are. They're worshipers. They're worshipers. And they're good at what they do because their heart's there. That's what they want to do. That's what God's called them to do. They're here to help me. Thank you, Jesus. They're here to help me. It makes my job so much easier. When I'm going to get songs and trying to pull songs and trying to be a, our job is to prepare you guys for the Word. Our job is to get you focused. And we're not up here to perform. We're not up here to put on a good show, you know. We're here to get your hearts prepared to receive the seed of the Word of God. Amen. You know, and that's who I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to be a worshiper. I'm called to help this worship team, you know, by playing the drums and working on music. I'm here to help Dad, you know, in the television ministry. That's who I am. God's called me to be a help, and He's called me to be a witness and a light. And, I don't get to go into the homes of everybody. I don't get to go to, Michigan, and minister myself. But I can go to Michigan, and I can minister in these homes by doing all that television work back there, preparing, putting my effort into the television ministry, and then that goes all over the place. Goes everywhere. You know, all over the country of Uganda. We sent a video with Brother Wilberforce and Dad doing an interview, just encouraging the people of Uganda. And, man, we got to put that together. I got to be a part of that. That thing aired all over the place. I mean, they put on national television over the whole... That's who I am. Who are you? Find out what God wants you to do. You know, get in the Word of God. Find out. And I want you to see something here because I want to show you where it starts from the outside. I'm going to show you where it starts, and that's in confession, that's in speaking, it's in talking, that's with your tongue. Yeah. Everybody grab your tongue right here. Uh-huh. That's what thoughts right there. Okay? So, in Psalms 45, are you there?
Yeah.
Let's start in verse 1. It says, "My heart is inditing a good matter." Inditing is overflowing with another in the Dakes concordance there, the Dakes Bible, it says that it's bubbling over. How many of you know somebody that's just real bubbly? I mean, you know, you get around them and they're just, I'm just so glad to be here, God's blessed me. And that just, I mean, they just bubble all over. Well, that's what it says that his heart is. It says his heart is indicting a good, it's just bubbling over. Oh man, I can't wait to tell you about this, and I can't wait to tell you about this side. I want to share this, and it's indicting a good matter. "I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Okay, now that's what we're going to spring off that for a minute. Your tongue is writing your future. Your tongue is speaking what you're going to do, what you're going to be, where you're going to be in 5 years, in 10 years. We made a confession here at our church, and we've made several confessions, changed them over the years, of things that we wanted to accomplish in this church. We called in nursery workers and television, and we called in the warehouse, and we called in land, and we called in all these things. And we, with our tongue, wrote our future. The tongue is the pen, and we wrote that down. We put it in writing. When you say something, when you confess something, it's like putting it in writing. You know, in the old days, they used to handshake. Ryan, you know, I'm going to come over to your house and I'm going to help you do something. Let's shake on it. Okay, they didn't have to write contracts, you know. Your word was your bond. Your word was your contract. It was just like writing it down and saying, "I will be here on this date. There's my signature. And here's the date," you know. That's what your tongue, your mouth, your speaking, your confession. That was your word. That was your contract. It was your bond. Our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When we were speaking these things into existence, we basically wrote the future. We said, you know what? We're going to have all this land out here. We're going to have a warehouse to house all the stuff for Hallelujah Night. Yeah. Can y'all see a warehouse out there? Yeah. Y'all seen that before? Yeah. It's right behind the building, right back, you know, right behind the building if you hadn't seen it before. There's a gym out there that we called in, still being completed, but we called that gym in. We said with our mouth, we created a bond, a contract with God. We said, "God, I'm believing you to supply our needs to get us a gym, because we need a gym." And God says, "I think you need one too." And we called in the gym by speaking it. We wrote it down. We made a contract. We said, you know, "I want a gym." And that's what happened. Okay? We got him. It's right out there. If you haven't seen it, you ought to go check it out. Go check out the stone. It's really cool. The stone is really, I mean, really cool. You'll really like it. I mean, it's fancy. Fancy. The gym is not just a regular old gym. You know, this is a fancy gym. But we wrote it. We wrote it down. Turn to Revelations real quick. Revelation 20. This, you'll like this. We'll quote a few scriptures here. Romans, well, John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him, not perish, have everlasting life. Okay, we believe on Jesus, right? All right, now in Romans, I tell you what. Y'all love me, don't you? Take that little marker thing in your Bible. Okay, mine came apart on me. Put it in Revelations 20, Revelation 20 right there. Hold your place. Let's turn over to Romans. I want you to get the whites of your eyes on this. Everybody say this is good stuff. And we are going to use some examples here, quite a few. So, you know, Bible drills today, maybe. Maybe. Romans 10. It says in verse 9. Oh, verse 8. Let's back up because this is good too. But what saith it? What saith it? What saith it? What saith it? What's it saying? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What are you saying? Are you saying the word? Is the word in you? Is it in your mouth? Is that what you're saying? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you will write down something by confessing with your mouth. We'll see this in a minute. The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With confession, you're writing something down. You're saying that I am going to go to heaven. I am going to serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. I'm going to serve God. Now, flip back over to your little marker deal. I want you to see something here in Romans 20. This just came alive to me when I was putting all this together here. Just, you know, the Holy Spirit was just moving fast. My brain couldn't keep up. I was like, first of all, right now. Kind of like Dad with that song the other night. If y'all weren't here Wednesday night, you missed out. Dad got a song. And he was drinking that Starbucks and driving and trying to write and as fast as he could. Verse 15, last verse, chapter 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, how did they get written? How did they get written into the Lamb's book of life? Their tongue was a pen of a ready writer, and they confessed that they were going to serve Jesus and that Jesus was the Lord. And by confessing that, their name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Is that, I mean, that's just awesome. We can write our future. We can write blessing in our life. We can write prosperity. We can write healing. When you speak it with your tongue, you are writing your future. You are writing what you are. You need to find out what God says so you can say the right things. Amen? I know we have kind of picked on Marshall a few times after Marshall, you know, started playing with us in softball. Now, I know he won't mind me using this as an example. You know, he'll probably just come beat me up after service. That's okay. I'll hide in the bathroom and lock myself in. I'm just teasing. But, you know, Marshall, he's saying something about, you know, man, I got this blister on my toe. It's killing me. And wrong thing to say around our group of guys. Okay, wrong thing to say. It's what, Marshall? Killing you? Is it killing you, Marshall? You want us to agree with you on that? You know? Your toe's not killing you, okay, Marshall? You're going to be just fine. You're healed in Jesus' name. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it hurts really bad. Yeah. Well, you know, we picked on Marshall. He'd say things, you know, we had to catch him. But hey, he's learning. He knows what to say now. He knows that his pen is writing his future and that he has to confess healing and not what, you know, he wants or what his toe feels like. You know, you can't act on your feelings. You have to act on the word of God.
Right.
Act on what God says. And, you know, as you do speak things and say things, your body will start to conform. I mean, you keep saying, this is hilarious. Y'all have to get a visual on this. I've been helping do some roofing at my mother-in-law's house. And we've worked now Monday night and Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then all day yesterday. That this had some, you know, things that were just had gotten, you know, away from them. We had to replace a whole bunch of decking on the plywood decking and some rafters. And yesterday was it was a test of our, you know, abilities as a man to make it through the day. I told Mike's been helping me. I told Mike, my brother-in-law, I said, we're going to find out what kind of men we are today, I promise you. And sure enough, we found out. he and I were both in our, you know, 30s, and the body wears out quick after you've been working that long. You know, I haven't been doing that, you know, for, you know, a job. So we're both sitting there. We had taken a break to eat because we were both hungry and pretty thirsty. I think we both drank like, you know, maybe a dozen Gatorades all day. It's just pretty hot. So we're sitting there, and he's sitting here across from me, and I'm sitting there, and we just got done taking a little break, and it's time to go finish. And I said, well, we need to go out there and finish. Now, I'm saying this because I know I need to say this. And Mike's sitting over the other side, and he goes, yep. We need to get back out there. I guess it's time. Yeah, I guess it's time. We sat there for probably about 5 minutes just talking about what we were going to do. And finally, we look over at each other, and Mike says, it's time to go out there, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. So we got up. It's time. Let's go. And we went out, and we finished. The point here is that your body will finally line up. If you keep saying it long enough, your body will have to react sooner or later. And so as you speak this, as you speak the word, we have God's word that things will line up. Things will come into existence. We have the promises of God all of God's promises are yes and amen. Okay? Not just yes. Not yes that, you know, yes and amen. Amen is so be it. It is done. Finished. We have God's promise, you know, concerning our life, and all those promises are yes and amen. So when we speak the word of God, we're writing our future. We're writing this down. It's going into a, you know, we'll just call it, you know, a spiritual tablet for our life. This is my life, Chris's life, you know, chapter one. You know, and Chris spoke into existence this, and then, you know, and I'm speaking, I believe it. Of course, there's faith that has to be involved, and we've got to continue in our faith and have patience, and the things will come to fruition. It'll happen. It'll come into existence. So, but speaking will line things up. Amen. And I thought that was good. You know, just as an example here, that we wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life by speaking, confessing that Jesus is Lord. Everybody, let's say that together. Jesus is Lord. Let's say Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. You just kind of, you know, ever taken something you wrote and just kind of like marked over it again, you make it darker, you know, make it more bold and stand out? That's what we just did.
Amen.
Everybody say, Jesus is my Lord one more time.
Jesus
is my Lord. It just got a little darker in there, you know. It's a little darker. All right, now, let's turn to... let's turn to John. Let's turn to John, first chapter. John, the first chapter. Not first John, but first chapter of St. John. You know, just kind of reiterate some of the point here. We're following a very good example. You know, Jesus spoke things you know, he spoke things and they happened. You know, how many of you believe if God's, if Jesus came up and said, you know, be healed, what was going to happen? You're going to be healed. You know, Jesus came up and said, you know, you've got your legs or whatever don't work. You're lame and you need to hear. I mean, blind and you need to hear. You're lame and you need to walk. You know, he'd say, get up and walk. You know, and Ryan, if he was lame and he needed to be healed, he'd get up and walk. He would. I promise you. Jesus spoke things into existence. Well, in the very beginning, God spoke. And Jesus was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But Jesus was how everything was made to begin with. You know, it's just a side note here. How many of you know that every time Jesus spoke, these little red letters appeared? Okay, just a thought. You know, every time Jesus spoke, it became words, you know, in the Bible. So it just kind of, you know, it's red hot. That's right. Chapter 1, verse 1 in John. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. The Word was with Jesus. With God. Jesus was with God at that time. In the beginning was the Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But at that time, God hadn't become a man. He was still just called the Word. All right, and the same was in, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many of you know that Jesus is God? He's 100% man, 100% God when he was on the earth. Yeah. That makes 200%. Our math, you know, can't comprehend that, but that's the way it was. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, him being the Word. And without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. God made everything in the beginning by speaking, by saying. I mean, that's what he made everything with, was his words. And so, you know, we ourselves need to speak into existence, you know, whatever it is that you have needs in your life, you need to speak God's word into existence and write it down. You know, that's what you're doing. You're writing it down. You're determining your future. You're determining, you know, how it's going to be. Are you going to let the devil have his way? Or are you going to let God have his way? Are you going to write out overcoming? Or are you going to write out defeat, despair, agony, on in? You know, woe is me. You know, Charlie Brown song. Why is everybody else picking on me? You know what? Don't speak the bad things. Don't speak negativity. Because when you do, you're writing out what your future is going to be according to what you say. You know, and we know that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, and I asked this question to the people I ministered to a couple weeks ago, and they didn't know the answer right off the bat. They were afraid to answer, I think. Who do you hear? Well, actually, my pawpaw did answer once, but who do you hear the most speaking? And he points at my granny. But who do you hear the most? Yourself. And if there's nobody there to speak the word to you, then you need to speak the word. Amen. You need to speak it so that you can encourage yourself, so you can build yourself up, so you can have faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God, by you speaking it if nobody else can. You know, we have awesome, source, you know, if you have internet service, we have an awesome source of the messages. All the messages are online. You can go out there and listen to any message back through 2006 on the internet. You can just go out there and just listen to it. And, you know, right on your computer. If you need some word, you miss a service, or you need something in the middle of the week, you can go out to our website and you can go find a message that Dad's taught on healing or prosperity or peace or wisdom or you know, whatever it is that you need. You can go out there and listen to it. That's a good way to encourage yourself and a good way to build your faith by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. All right? So we should speak God's word in our life so we can build ourselves up, encourage ourselves, build our faith. Amen? We speak it. And of course, verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came down here. Now, the verse I was really wanting to get to, because that was all good. That was just... You have to read that because you can't, you know, it's before verse 22. Verse 22 It's talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is being questioned. He's saying that he's not the Christ, you know, that Jesus is, there's one that's going to come. He was before me, but he's coming after me. John, y'all know, was born about 6 months before Jesus, so he was before Jesus. And he was meant to go and prepare the way for Jesus to come. He was supposed to go and minister and say, hey guys, get ready. Get ready, 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 get ready. He's out there just telling them, get ready. T.D. Jakes, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
You need to get ready. Jesus is coming. But this is interesting. It says, then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? John, you know, we know what everybody says about you, and we hear all these things and rumors going around. People say you're Jesus. People say, you know, you're so-and-so. Who do you say you are? Because it really doesn't matter what they say. It's what matters here, John, because we've got guys wanting to know, and they've sent us out here to ask you. What matters, John, is who do you say you are? Because that will incriminate or set free you by who you say you are. You can set yourself free or you can enslave yourself by this thing called the tongue. Okay? You can do that. Okay? It says, verse 23, he said, I am what God says I am. Really doesn't matter what all that says down there, because all that down there was what God said he was going to be. So if you wanted to, you could just X out all that stuff down there and you could say, I am what God says I am.
Yeah.
But we'll read it just because it's still good. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Okay, I tell you what, let's turn over real quick. If you can hold your place there, because I want to read that again, because that's good. Turn to Isaiah. I told you Bible drills, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good deal. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, and her warfares, that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. That's what he says. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am what God says I am. We're supposed to prepare the way for the Lord. We're supposed to make this desert a highway.
Amen.
For God. We're supposed to pave the road for people to see Jesus.
Amen.
We're supposed to prepare the way. Amen. Make it visible. Put some road signs. How many of you had a yard sale or garage sale lately? Anybody? Yeah, you had. That's right. Y'all had one.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Oh, they're back there pointing, but they don't want to lift their hand. Lindsay, back in the back. Won't mention any names, but her initials are Lindsay. Had one. Okay. So, did you put out any signs? Did you want people to come?
Yeah.
You wanted people to come and bring what? Money. And buy all of your junk that is treasure to them. One man's junk is another man's treasure. All right. So, you prepared the way for them to come to your houses, right? Did you make signs? Yeah. Did you put one sign up? How many signs? Five. Lindsay, how many did y'all put up? Two. Well, the Word of God says, prepare the way. Was your house, you know, pretty, in town, though, people could see? And yours is a little harder to find because it's out of town, out here, kind of down the road and off juke to the left and all that. Right? Okay. Well, you know, some people, it's easy to find Jesus. It is. It's easy for people to find Jesus, isn't it? because they're around Christians. They've kind of been around them all their life, you know. They kind of, you know, Aunt so-and-so and Grandma so-and-so. And then some people, they just haven't ever seen anything remotely close to Jesus in their life. You know, their parents, you know, didn't raise them right. They've been in a, you know, bad neighborhood or crowd or, you know, influence or whatever. And so sometimes we need five signs. And sometimes you only need two, depending on the situation. So, but they prepared the way for people to come to their house. They put signs up and said, hey, it's this way, you know. You know, garage sale, lots of good stuff. Over here, you know, maybe put the address down. You know, yard sale, you know, selling out, last chance. Everything half off, you know, whatever it is. You're making the way known. You're preparing the way, all right? Because that's what you do when you have a garage sale. Well, we have got something really, really good, and it's free.
Amen.
We can put that on our sign. Free. Free. It's Jesus.
Yes.
We need to prepare the way. We do that by speaking, by talking about all the good things that God's done for you, by sharing with people the goodness of your Father, your Father God, and His Son Jesus, who gave His life for us.
Amen.
Amen. We have an awesome amount of power right here in our tongue. And, you know, let's finish this out here. It says again, verse 22, they said unto him, who art thou? And basically in verse 23, John said, I am what God says I am. That's what he said. I am what God says I am. He had gone and he had found, let's turn to Luke. Luke 4. Let's turn to Luke. This is just reiterating the point here. The point. Luke 4, 17. Jesus is coming to the synagogue. How many of you want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
I do. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to... I know I've got... Y'all stop pointing. So, well, that's not gonna work. And that, didn't, you know, I'm working. We're all working. We're projects in the works. Want to be like Jesus, honing off some things, you know, that aren't right, fixing things. But our goal is to be like Jesus. He's our example. He's our teacher. We want to be just like Him. Amen. Well, here it says that we'll start in verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. As his custom was, this is something that he did quite often, a lot of the times, most every Sunday, I would suppose, maybe even some times in between that. Actually, then it was Saturday. But as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place. He found the place. He said, oh, God, speak to me today. Right there. That's not it. Okay, he found it. He went in here and he says, okay, let's see. You know, I know over here in Luke chapter 4, I know God said something about me here. Yeah, right here. Okay. It says he found the place where it was written. He opened the book. He found the place where it was written. Where it was written specifically about him, Jesus. It says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. I am what God said I was going to be. Right here, it's me. You remember all this stuff that says, you know, Jesus is coming, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and he's going to be anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, and heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set liberty to them as bruised. You know all that stuff it said back there? That's me.
Amen.
And I'm him. I'm what God says I am.
Right.
Find the place where it's written about you. Find it. Say it. Okay? You can. Again, awesome amount of power in your tongue. You need to speak it. You're going to write your future down. You're going to do it. Amen? As an example, I tell you what, let's turn to Proverbs. We were talking about, I tell you what, Jonathan, you want to grab that board? Because we can probably do that demonstration real quick. We got just, you know, enough time to go over this. we were talking about a song this morning and how this worked out. It was just the Holy Spirit. I mean, just the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. The ghost kind of makes it sound more, you know, powerful. Like, ooh, yeah. It was the Holy Ghost. We were in there. We were talking about a song, and we were talking about how we're going to end this one line. And the words were something about, you know, on God. We're counting on God. And we were going to draw out, you know, counting on God. We're going to draw out, you know, the God and the on part. You know, when you hear the song, you'll love it. I promise you. But we're going to draw out God is what we're going to do. And whenever I said that, it just hit me. How many of you have ever seen a cat or a bird or maybe another small pet or a dog or something? They're running from you, and they go and they kind of hide up in a corner or underneath the couch, you know, and you're trying to play with them. You're trying to get them to come out. You try to draw them out, right? Kind of draw them out. What do you say? Oh, come here, sweet little thing. You come see Daddy. Come on, baby, it's okay. It's all right. That's just thunder and lightning. It's all right. Come on out from underneath the couch. You just call and talk to them. Just sweet talk them. Try to get them out of that corner, out from behind the, you know, dryer or something. I don't know. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I'm the only one. Okay. Anybody? Yeah, Fred, Henry. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, if you got small pets, you know, they do that. They hide and get behind stuff. You know, you try to draw them out, right? Try to get them out of there. I want to just picture this for a minute. Not that we would try to associate God with being a pet or an animal, but God is patiently waiting. He's just sitting there waiting to move on your behalf. He's watching over His word to perform it, and He needs you to draw Him out. He needs you to say, God, I need you to help me. I'm telling you, if you could picture God being like Fred, God's going, yes, yes. And boy, He comes out, He comes on the scene, and He helps, and He does this, and He works. He does what you ask Him to do because you call Him in. You ask, you draw Him out by talking, by speaking His word. You draw Him out. Amen. And you know, if you've got notes, I want you to write this down for a minute. I didn't bring this out for this point, but it'll be good. A good visual here. And we really need this to be up tall. Y'all have no clue what's about to happen. This is going to be good. I want to. In Ephesians, it talks about us being God's workmanship. Okay, so in Ephesians, I believe it's in Ephesians 2:10. Yes, 2:10. Okay. We are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. Can't see it. That's what it says. Even though I didn't spell it right. Where's workmanship? Which actually means, I'll write it bigger. That's actually the spelling of it. It's poiema. Poiema. Which we get poem. Okay, poem. Which actually, well, the board's kind of going like this while I'm trying to write, too. So make it squiggly. Poem, which means like handiwork or creation. God, Dad, this is a point that is not in the Bible specifically says this, but it says that whenever we were created, that God breathed life into us. He breathed life into man. I just can't help. I mean, He created everything with words, with His breath. He spoke, and I can't, you know, help but imagine the same picture that I see when Dad's ministered the same thing, that God, when He breathed life into us, that He modeled us and molded us and created us, and then He went, life, or or live. May He breathe life into us. And, you know, I just can't help but think that. You know, so, I mean, you know, in essence, we're God's creation. We're His, we're what He called us to be. I mean, you know, we became alive because God, you know, made us. I mean, as, you know, as simply put, I mean, you know, we are God's creation. All right, so workmanship, poem, you know, our work. Okay, you know, letter, something written. You can't see this, I know. Just imagine that that's what's there. Okay, so our tongue writes, right? Okay. Our tongue writes what we say, which becomes like a letter. And you know it says that we are epistles written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. But by the Spirit of the living God. We are written. God spoke to us. Spoke us basically, you know, they were talking about, we're talking about letters of commendation. You know, did we need a you know, reference letter here saying that you are who you are and that, you know, come over here and minister to us? And it says, you know, you don't need that because your life is your letter. What you speak, what you say, the way you act, that's all the letter of recommendation we need because you are written not with ink. We don't need a letter written with ink because what you're speaking, what you're saying is already a letter to us. Right? We are a letter. We need to make sure that we're writing the right things, that we're being read the right way. Okay? When people read us, you know, you hear people say, oh, I read right through that person. I can read you like a book. What are they talking about? Well, they can tell by your character, your mannerisms, the way you talk, the way you act. They know exactly what you are because they can read you. They can read you just by what you say, by what you do. All right? Now, if you don't know what to write, then you have to have somebody help you write it correctly. Whenever we're have little guys, we're trying to teach them. You know, I've got three boys, and they're all still learning how to write. Reese's handwriting, he's going to be a doctor, thank you, Jesus, because he can't read his handwriting. So anyway, like me. Okay, so anyway, you know, you teach them how to write the letters. If they can't do it, then, you know, you help them. You kind of do that, all right? So if we don't know what to write, we need to call on God, find in His promises, and help us write this thing. Okay, so I have this example here. Ted, could you come up to the front, if you don't mind? I did talk to Ted a little bit about this. Ken said no way. And Jonathan, he could draw too good, so I couldn't use him. So we had to take. I asked him, and he says, "No, I can't draw." So Ted, I want you to come here for a second. Do we have something to clear this off with? Maybe a tissue or something. All the tissue's gone. Oh wait, here's some. I got it. All right, Ted, come on up. Ted is going to draw.
Small so
he can't see. He's going to draw real small so you can't see it. He's going to draw a flower for us. It's going to be a challenge because he is left-handed. And I'm right-handed, but, you know, we'll make this work. He's going to draw us a flower. Now, what's bad is that, you know.
This marker is not very good.
Sure.
The
marker's not very good.
That looks kind of like a tree, doesn't it?
That's kind of like broccoli.
That's my flower.
Okay, well, that's his flower.
That's my flower.
Okay. We'll erase that right off.
The board moves when you write. That's one of Chris's excuses.
Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to help Ted draw a flower. Okay, so Ted, you go ahead. I'm just going to help you here. We'll just draw this little spot here, okay, and put a bunch of little squigglies in there. Okay, then we're going to go up here like this and draw that one. We'll do one opposite. That way it stays kind of symmetrical. Okay, then we go like here and put one there. Put one there, and then one kind of over the top, because flowers don't, you know, they kind of overlay.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah. And then right here, This is fun, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, and there, and then we'll put, look here, stems are hardly ever straight, so we'll kind of make it crooked. And then we put a leaf like that, because a lot of times they have a little leaf coming off.
Mm-hmm.
And go up, and look, you can put little dots in the petals. Isn't that cool? Wow. Y'all can see this in just a second. Okay, and then you put this little deal here. That's kind of like the ridge on the top of the flower pot. And then it kind of angles down, comes over here, and then it goes back up. Okay, now.
Wow.
That's a lot better, isn't it? It's a little better flower. I mean, you did a great job.
Thanks.
Great job. Hey, do you want to draw the horse or no?
I'll draw a horse.
He's going to draw a horse real quick. I know we're coming to a point here. And a close. He's going to draw us a horse real quick. Da na 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 da na 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 na. That's awesome.
I like
that. That's really good,
Ted. The board kind of moved.
It does move.
It did.
The board moves. Okay.
Okay.
Now, so like if I was coming over here. And, you know, I needed God to kind of help me do something. Oh, this is not going to be the perfect horse, but it will be pretty good.
Do you want me to relax more?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
You're trying to help a little too much, son. Okay. There's the tail. That's good. That's good enough. Okay.
I got a new marker.
I know this marker is not very good, is it?
Jonathan picked it.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, we're coming out here. Oh, a little disproportion. We'll redraw that. Well, he's kind of stiff. He's not being very cooperative here. Come down here. There we go. That's so good. I'm going to draw a little hoof there. Come up. Yeah, there we go. There we go. And then we come and we go back here. There we go. This is looking a lot better. I like this. Ready? There we go. And we come back. Okay. And we draw that. And we come up and then we go there. Okay. We'll draw him a really good tail with this really good marker. A little bit of a mane. Give him a little eye there. And a smile because he's a really happy horse. That's a little better.
He's walking downhill, as Jonathan would say.
He's going downhill. Hey, Ted, thank you. I appreciate it.
Am I done?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Give him a hand clap. Okay. Well, as you can see, there we our artwork wasn't that great. But anyway, if you don't know how to do something, you need to call on God. You need to find somebody that knows the Word. Get in the Word. Find out what God says. He will help you. He will take your hand, and He will help you write your future. He longs to you know, when He designed us, the way He created us, and He fellowshiped with us. God was our friend. We were friends of God. He loves to commune with you. He loves to help you. He wants to teach you. He wants to be, you know, near you and nigh. He wants to be, you know, your best friend. And that's what He should be. And you know what you do when you have a problem, you need some advice? What do? Call your best friend, don't you? You call your best friend and say, sis, you know, what are we going to do? I need some wisdom here. I need to know what to do on this situation. You know, I'm faced with this or that, you know, and what do you think? You know, well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, what do you think? And then we do that for a while. And then we make a decision. But you know, you call your best friend. You know, God wants to be your best friend. He will help you. He will take your hand, like we said. He'll take your hand. He'll help you draw that thing out and say, you know what? This is my future right here. There's a beach. And there's the sun over here. And over here is my wife and all the kids. We're all playing at the beach, you know, because they all like to go to the beach every summer. Playing on the beach. And they're catching all these crabs. Let me draw these little crabs in here, you know. Catching the crabs. They run and go catch them, you know. And then there's a porpoise out in the water, kind of jumping. So it was kind of, we saw that one time. It was really neat. Love to see one again. It was just right up there, right, just went between everybody. Somebody thought it was a shark, screaming, ah, shark! Right up. It was a porpoise. That's all it was. But, you know, I just draw all that out, and God will help you. He says, yeah, yeah. You need to be blessed. be able to take that vacation sometime. Go do that. You know, and so God will help you. You need to call on God. You need to seek out what He'd say about you, like Jesus did, like John did, like Joshua and Caleb did, like David did. David said, I'm going to kill Goliath. Joshua and Caleb said, we're going to take the land. The people that didn't said that we couldn't make it. They didn't because they said they didn't. But you can overcome. You can write your future. Your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Write a good future. Write what God would say about you.